Hello and welcome. You're listening to The Broadband Exchange, the podcast from your friends at Telecompetitor. I'm Ian Desher, Pivot's Director of Media and Story and Managing Editor of Telecompetitor. It's time to review last week's broadband news. Let's get into it. Last week was like my favorite kind of bagel. Everything. Federal policy, a BEAD announcement, state funding, acquisitions, new provider offers, and continued questions about what counts as future-ready infrastructure. We'll start, as we often do, in Washington, D.C., where FCC Chairman Brendan Carr is said to expect a top-to-bottom review of the Universal Service Fund. The USF has been around for decades, of course, and it has been central to how the industry has approached affordability, rural deployment, schools and libraries, and rural healthcare connectivity. So when the FCC talks about rethinking it from top to bottom, people pay attention. Carr's comments suggested the agency wants to take a broad look at how the fund works, how money flows, and whether the current structure still matches today's communications market. That doesn't tell us what the outcome will be, of course. It does tell us that a foundational program is now squarely in the reform conversation. For rural providers and anyone with a stake in support mechanisms, this issue is critical. Congress also moved another rural telecom issue forward this week. The Rural Broadband Protection Act passed the House of Representatives. It had already passed in the Senate, and it's now headed to President Trump's desk to be signed. The bill was designed to put more scrutiny around support recipients, particularly in cases where a provider might have a troubling record or where there are concerns about their long-term ability to perform. This is part of the administration's ongoing effort to make sure that dollars aren't going to waste and that providers can actually deliver and sustain the service they say they can, especially in high-cost rural areas. While we're on the topic of public funding, Oklahoma had its final proposal approved for the Broadband Equity Access and Deployment Program, otherwise of course known as BEAD. Oklahoma became the 48th state to have its final proposal approved, and now only Illinois and California remain. The BEAD story has become a long one, and sometimes the weekly developments feel incremental. But as we all know, each state approval matters because each one is another step toward getting dollars out the door and projects under construction. And while we're talking about states, Texas had its own infrastructure announcement this week. The state's Middle Mile program awarded $113 million in grants. Middle Mile doesn't always get the same attention as Last Mile headlines, but as you know, it's the critical infrastructure that makes Last Mile networks scalable, resilient, and often more economical to build. For a large state with a wide rural territory like Texas, middle mile investments help shape what is practical for providers. And speaking of BEAD, rural buildouts, and whether providers can deliver what they say they can, OpenSignal took a look at Starlink's service and asked whether it will make the grade as a BEAD provider. That question has become more important as policymakers and providers debate what should count as an acceptable solution in the hardest-to-reach locations. The answer, at least for now, is nuanced. Satellite clearly offers reach, and Starlink has already shown it can serve locations that are difficult and expensive for terrestrial providers to get to. At the same time, BEAD was built around performance, long-term reliability, and affordability expectations that invite closer scrutiny. So the debate isn't just whether satellite can provide service, it's whether satellite should be treated as equivalent to fiber or other terrestrial options in a program built to support durable broadband infrastructure. The OpenSignal report suggests that Starlink faces significant performance, capacity, and affordability issues. Another national trend line worth watching came from Pew Research, which looked at data centers and found growth is especially strong in rural areas. That matters to broadband because data centers may present opportunities for rural broadband providers, though the extent of those opportunities varies greatly. I thought the most interesting fact from the Pew Research is that so far, data centers are 87% urban and 13% rural, but the data centers that are being planned are 33% urban and 67% rural. In digital equity news this week, Lightcurve announced a digital equity partnership program, which provides up to a year of free service to public, private, and nonprofit organizations that provide critical services or broadband access to underserved members of the community. The Lightcurve program continues a theme we've seen across the industry, as providers try to pair network expansion with adoption and inclusion efforts. These kinds of partnerships can involve community groups, training efforts, device access, and localized support. On the technology side, Cisco announced what it called a redefinition of routing for quantum networks. That story, thanks to Joan Ingebretson's excellent reporting, sits a little outside the everyday operating concerns of most broadband providers, but it's worth noting because it points to where core network thinking may be headed over time. There were a handful of acquisition stories this week. TDS Telecommunications said it would acquire Granite State Communications. True Vista Fiber said it would acquire the municipal network in Commerce, Georgia, and GCI will acquire Quintillion from Grain Management LLC. None of these are mega deals, but it was interesting to see them all arrive in the same week. For TDS, the Granite State deal added another piece to the company's strategic footprint, and it was a bit of a switch for TDS, which has been selling off a lot of its assets in the past 2 years. For True Vista, the acquisition of the Commerce Municipal Network reflected the continued appeal of municipal and community-based assets when they align with a provider's expansion strategy. A couple of providers introduced promotions this week that were worth noting. Nonprofit provider Mission Telecom introduced mobile hotspots to its list of offerings. Mission Telecom positions itself as filling the gap for libraries and schools especially, whose E-rate funding may be going away. And their mobile hotspot offering is another move toward access, which is really their driving force. Meanwhile, Optimum had a unique promotion this week. They said they would offer $150 gift cards if a customer comes into one of their stores, shows their AT&T or Verizon bill, and Optimum can't beat the price. There's nothing subtle about this offer, but it's interesting to see Optimum taking a swing at the national providers and putting their money where their mouth is. It's also interesting that the Optimum promotion is all about price. Optimum isn't making claims about their service, they're just saying that they can beat the big guys on price. They're banking on the fact that price matters to consumers at least as much as any other factor. Taken together, this week's stories paint a pretty good picture of where the broadband industry sits. Federal policymakers continued to revisit foundational programs and accountability rules. States kept moving infrastructure funding forward. Providers pursued acquisitions to sharpen their regional positions. Digital equity remains part of the conversation, even as larger infrastructure and policy questions dominate. And at the edge of the industry, from satellite to quantum networking to data center growth, the attempt to define broadband and the search for innovation continue. In other words, the industry keeps on keeping on. Thank you for listening to the Broadband Exchange. You can read all the articles we talked about today at telecompetitor.com. Feel free to drop us a line while you're there. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you next time.